Let's do it. And welcome to the devotees in Italy. Sorry, I've got something.
It's a good. Who else is on there? Can you see who's on there, please, Paul? Who have we got on?
Look, it's on there. Birmingham.
Okay.
UK.
Okay, so UK Namahata is us. And Ian from Birmingham, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hari Bol. Let's do a Midlands Nectar of Devotion. Right. Are you ready, Resika?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a show. Sorry, you're going to sing.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expertly scrutinizingly studied all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. Right, so where exactly are we up to in Nectar of Devotion? Please, best of the pundits, please remind me, where we got up to? I think we were discussing characteristics of pure devotional service.
That's right, yeah. And
we discussed about different types of mystic perfection.
Yeah. On page 13 now.
Page 13.
Yeah.
The top of the page?
Yeah, starting from first paragraph now. We...
Okay. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, yeah?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Let's see what we can do with this. Who is going to have the pleasure of reading?
Okay, I'll do it, Prabhuji.
Okay. I just want to show you one thing, but I'll come to that. Because I've worked out how we can get ISKCON Life on the phone. Oh. If you've got the right sort of phone, then you can actually get ISKCON Life here.
On the phone as well, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So application? Is it
application? Skyfire. Okay. And with that, you can actually get right in. You can tap in your username and password, and you can get the whole thing. This morning, I was watching, and yesterday morning, I was watching Mangal Arati in Soho Street. And yeah, and
on phone, mobile phone.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. Actually, it was really nice to see that everything was actually going on so well there. So it's brilliant to see that that actually works out well. I'm just going to try typing this in just to show you as ISKCON Leicester. Pretend I'm ISKCON Leicester, and you know, because if this works, it's actually very nice. Of course, you need to have a good supply of data without getting charged over the top for it. But it is quite amazing that it actually does work. But we'll put it to the test and see. So here we go. Log in. Let's try this. And with a bit of luck, we should see devotees online. Yeah, Birmingham ENC, Leicester, ISKCON Leicester, and UK Namahata. And here we go. Surprise, surprise. We can also see that our camera is not the best camera in the world. But
right.
Actually, it works. And if we put the sound up, then you'll find that here comes the broadcast.
Delay, slightly,
okay.
You know, yeah.
So anyway, it's exciting that this is now a possibility. So we can do these things. Just trying to get it so that it's playing board. Bear with me a second. So the whole principle being that if you've got the facility, you can use it. And actually the quality of the Soho Street camera is excellent, but our quality of the camera here is excellent.
Okay, yeah.
So you've got the sound and video. So there you go in. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. So we can see who's on as well. Hopefully. Yeah, we've got Birmingham ENC, we've got ISKCON Leicester, which I've logged in on here as UK Namahata. So anyway, we don't need this because we've got it on here, but I just wanted to demonstrate that principle that we can do it. And now you see it's starting to get feedback because the broadcast signal is actually quite strong, and that's why it's happening like that. So let's turn that off and let's log out, and then it won't be a problem. Right, let's go with it.
Okay.
So there you go. Surprise, surprise. Video feedback. Okay, who's going to start the ball rolling? Mukesh Prabhu! Hare Krishna! Welcome! You were just in the nick of time.
Just in time, you know.
Okay.
Give me one look from there, Prabhu.
Okay. So,
okay, can we start now?
Well, let Mukesh Prabhu have a seat, and then we're going to read from chapter 1. Yeah, characteristics of pure devotional service. And the characteristic that we're discussing, of course, is happiness in Krishna consciousness. That, and particularly Srila Rupa Goswami, he's described these six characteristics. Let's just turn to page 3 and see what are these six characteristics. So Ashok, could you just read for us, please, on the bottom of page 3, and just over the page on page 4, what are the six characteristics of pure devotional service, please?
Starting from the first one, yeah?
Yeah.
One, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Two, pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Three, pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Four, pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Five, those in pure devotional service derive even the conception of liberation. Six, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna.
Okay, so now we're continuing our discussion on pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Okay, so over to you, Jayananda Prabhu.
In the Hari Bhakta Sudaya, it is stated that Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed to Narasimha Dev, the half lion, half man incarnation, as follows. My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. Actually, a pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections, because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can compare to it. It is said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness tends beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation.
Okay, good. Can we do the camera again? Sorry, I'm just going to ask you to be the cameraman as well as one of the students, if that's all right. But I'm hoping everyone, actually people can hear. We know that the microphone is reasonably sensitive and it does pick things up. So we were just broadcasting you on here as well, Jayananda. Just so that you're aware that you're now a movie star. As well as all your other transcendental qualifications, you're now a transcendental movie star. Okay.
Very good.
So this is a very nice point here, that Prahlad Maharaj is praying, he's actually repeatedly praying to Lord Nrisimhadev's feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. So these things are there, all the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, they're all insignificant, in fact, in relation to devotional service, to the supreme, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, sometimes the discussion comes, even it's come in here, in this temple room, that if we have any material desire, we can ask Krishna for it. This is true, you can. But what you ask for, you will get. And if this is what you're asking Krishna for, that doesn't mean that you're going to get pure devotional service. If you're asking Krishna for this, you're going to get this. If you're asking Krishna for that, you're going to get that. So therefore our business, which is being stressed again and again in this nectar of devotion, is to actually ask Krishna for pure devotional service. And here we see the example, because we're sometimes asked, how do we pray? You remember? these, you know, what do we pray? How do we actually pray? We see the example of the Mahajans, of the great acharyas in devotional service. And if we follow in their footsteps, they don't pray for any kind of material benediction. We see Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted, that was why he approached Krishna in the beginning, because he wanted a kingdom better than that of his father. He had that mentality, I'll show him. You know, that mentality is there. He was thinking that I'd been deprived of my sitting on the lap of my father. I'll show them. You know, that mentality. And in that distress, he approached Krishna. But when he got, by the mercy of a pure devotee, devotional, he got the darshan of the Lord, Krishna was ready to give him whatever he wanted. Lord Vishnu appeared and asked him, you please ask for whatever you like. I'll give you whatever benediction you want. You've sincerely approached me, and now I'll fulfill your desire. But then Dhruva Maharaj, what did he ask for? He said, my dear Lord, I don't want anything. All these material things. I came to you looking for simply broken pieces of glass. But now instead I found the most priceless jewel. So if we want to approach Krishna for all sorts of material things, that's up to us. But not that we should go to any demigod for these things. But these books are to help give us intelligence. That intelligence to understand what is our situation, to actually have the intelligence to perceive our situation very clearly in this material world, and the intelligence to act in such a way that we can achieve the supreme goal of life. Unfortunately, without this transcendental subject matter of Krishna consciousness, everyone is a fool and a rascal in this world. People have no intelligence. They've lost all their intelligence, simply mad after material benefits. That's the situation in the material world. Everyone is mad after material benefits. And people are so mad that they don't even approach God anymore for their material benefits. They're closing the temples, the mosques, the churches. No one's interested in going. They don't even approach Krishna for their material benefits. They think we'll get them by our own endeavors. Who needs God anyway? He doesn't exist. So what Krishna will give you if you're so rascal, if you're so nonsense, such offensive personality that you even decry his existence? Just like if you come in the room and I ignore you and just say, no, Mukesh doesn't even exist. Yeah. It's just a figment of my imagination. Yeah. A figment of somebody else's imagination. He's not even in my imagination. You know, how would you feel? So this is the situation, and people are so unfortunate that they have no understanding. But these books are to give us some intelligence so we can know what is the real situation, what are the problems of life, and how to actually resolve the problems of life. How to know what is the goal of life. We've got the human life after so much difficulty. How much, you say, well, it wasn't very difficult. Can you remember going through 8,400,000 species of life, birth and death? You look back on your own life. You had to be born, you had to grow up, you had to go through school, you had to go through college, you had to go through or your university or whatever you've had to go through. You had to go through getting a job. You had to get through working hard. You had to get through family life. You have to get through dealing with all your friends and your enemies and so many things. And that's just the one life that we can remember. And that was the good life. What to speak of when you were another creature just trying to avoid being eaten by another creature?
Also, old age and disease as well comes in.
Yeah. Don't forget, birth, old age, disease and death in every life. Thank you. And not only that, the miseries inflicted by the devas, the miseries inflicted by other living entities, and the miseries inflicted by our own body and mind. So, you know, all that, after so much struggle, we've now got a human birth. So that is a lot of trouble to have to go through. So these books, these messages of Krishna consciousness, these messages of Krishna are delivered by Krishna's devotee. Only by Krishna's devotee does one get the chance for devotional service. Because as we'll see as this chapter progresses, that without the grace of a devotee, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, that without the grace of a pure devotee, the seed of devotional service won't happen. We'll see that devotional service is only rarely achieved because Krishna doesn't give devotional service like that. You can't demand, I want devotional service. Why? Krishna will give you. Krishna becomes purchased by your devotional service. So why Krishna will give you that? Why this rascal wants to control me? What a nonsense. Yeah. But Krishna, he agrees to be known and loved by devotional service, and one can only get devotional service by that gift of a pure devotee. Only by the gift of Krishna's devotee can we get devotional service to Krishna. So therefore the principle is that we should fall at the feet of the spiritual master and beg for devotional service. This is the process of accepting a spiritual master. Please engage me in Krishna's devotional service. Because actually, I'm so fooled. Sanatana Goswami, he also gave the example that I may be a very, very big learned man in this world. But he approached Lord Chaitanya with a straw in his teeth, falling at his feet, and said, "My dear Lord, I'm such a fool. I don't even know what I should ask. So please, you tell me everything you think I need to know." So this is actually how we approach devotional service, how we get intelligence. Because material intelligence, Krishna describes four kinds of miscreants, can never approach them. One is maya parita jnana, those whose so-called erudite scholarship and learning and knowledge is completely stolen away by illusion. The best scholars in the world, why are they not coming to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Because they've got no intelligence to understand that I'm not the body and that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. So these books are to give people intelligence, whether they have all material intelligence or no material intelligence. If anyone can understand that by hearing and chanting the holy names of Krishna, I can become engaged in my eternal constitutional position, then whether I'm materially a fool or materially a great intelligentsia, so long as I can give up my arrogance and pride, then I can become Krishna's devotee. I can revive my eternal, my original condition. Because whether you're born as Brahma, or whether you're born as an insignificant ant, it's just a temporary designation. One day Brahma, the next day an ant. So what is the big deal? I've got a body of Brahma. That's a temporary body. It may last the lifetime of this universe, but this universe only lasts for one breath of Mahavishnu. So you just measure how long is your one breath. See how long you can hold it. One breath, that's all the whole universe is. All the universes are. And Brahma is just one little teeny living entity, a conditioned soul within that breath cycle of the Mahavishnu. So what is the significance? Whether you're an ant or whether you're a Brahma, what is the difference? Still just will-o'-the-wisp, here today and gone tomorrow. So this is for getting intelligence. Not only for giving us intelligence, but for us to assist. Because what is the spiritual master's mission? He wants to give intelligence to everyone. And our business is to assist the spiritual master. Please, take this book. My dear sir, you're very learned, you're very educated, you're very wonderful, you have so many good qualities. Now please give up all this nonsense and take to devotional service of Krishna. That's what it's about. So we're asking people, please take these books. They're so important. They're so vital to your existence. Actually, as an eternal person, you exist. As a temporary person, your body doesn't really exist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But the soul actually exists because it's eternal. Krishna exists because he's eternal. But this temporary body has no permanent existence. Yeah? Is that okay? So we're trying to give people back, as well as get ourselves, our real existence, which is devotional service to Krishna. So here we're talking about happiness, Prahlad Maharaj, and he's an authority on devotional service. He's someone who knows what devotional service is. He's actually met and been personally protected by having his dad, who was trying to abuse him in so many ways. His dad was personally finished off by his real father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came and picked him up and ripped him into pieces and threw him away. Yeah, here he is, Lord Nrsimhadev. It's very wonderful. And Prahlad Maharaj, who's one of the 12 Mahajans, the 12 authorities on devotional service, he's saying that, "My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service." Is he asking for dharma, artha, kama, moksha?
No.
He's just asking to become stronger in his devotional service. And he's saying, "I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. These are byproducts. They're simply byproducts." That's the fact. Just like, to take a very negative example, you see that what happens is people do so many disgusting things. They take the heels of a cow and they cook them and eat them. Or they take the skin of a cow and they make a pair of shoes from them. Or they may get a little bit of meat. They're byproducts from the cow. But actually, to do that, they have to kill the whole cow. So that's a very negative example. They're simply byproducts. But perhaps a better example might be to understand that the example that Prabhupada gives, and that is that if you have so many 10-pound problems, or 30-pound problems, let's look at inflation, you know, so many things I need to buy that are going to cost me £30, but if you've got millions of pounds, then all your 30-pound problems are solved. I was using the example of the cow, by the way, just to give an idea how people are killing the cow just for the byproducts. That's actually what's happening in this world. And they're getting, you know, they're getting their leather shoes, they're getting their food stuff and so many things. Actually, they can get food stuff from the cow without killing it. Just take the milk, which the cow is giving freely. Get the animal fats freely. But they're so foolish. To get the skin, they'll kill the animals. And to get the food, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, welcome both of you. We're just discussing on page 13. We have some more books here. You have, okay, oh good. And there's another one just there, so it's great. Excellent. It's really good to see that everybody has pretty much their own. Everyone, anyone here doesn't have their own copy of Nectar of Devotion? I know you've got one at home, haven't you? Yeah. Okay. You all have got? Excellent. Okay, this is very good. So anyway, the principle is that we should see that all the different varieties of benefit of material life are automatically obtainable in the full course of time. How does that work? A devotee, he's not, someone who's a pure devotee of the Lord, he's not struggling for economic development. He's not struggling for religiosity, trying to be known as a religious person, engage in all kinds of rituals for elevation. He's not struggling for gratifying his senses. Sometimes we see devotees jostling for position in the prasadam queue, but that's another story. I'm joking. But the thing is that he's not even worried about liberation. The pure devotee is actually happy. He doesn't ask for liberation, but automatically these things are byproducts of his devotional service. How does it happen? that even devotee, a pure devotee, just like you see, what did Prabhupada do? He opened all these temples all around the world. And devotees, people, so many people came and joined in with the temple activities. And so many times when they're out chanting and dancing and distributing books on the street, people would say, why don't you go and get a job? You know, go and get a proper job. Why are you coming and harassing us, making all this noise? But the fact is that Krishna is maintaining. Not just maintaining, but amazingly maintaining. And if you go around the world, you'll see these amazing places like Bhaktivedanta Manor. The devotees haven't gone out and got jobs to earn the facilities, but Krishna is sending the facility. And Krishna is sending the facility so that it just keeps developing more and more and more in amazing ways. And that every nook and cranny you turn, there's a department for preaching in some way or another. Whether it's the Gurukul, whether it's the doing the congregational development program, or the weddings, or doing book distribution, or prasadam distribution, or food for life, or life membership, or so many different things, or book publications, or doing the newsletters to go out to people. Everywhere you look, you know, there's a new department springing up, and all these things are being maintained. So Krishna explains how this works in Bhagavad Gita. Yoga kshemam vachamyaham. He says, for my devotee, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So actually, how is everyone being fed in this world? How is the ant being fed? How is the elephant being fed? He's not got a 9-to-5 or a, you know, 9 in the night until 5 in the morning. What has he got? He's simply doing his duties that he has to do. He goes out and he finds the food. Even an elephant who eats a lot more than all of us put together. You know, so many kilos of food every day. You know, we can't even imagine eating that much food. But how is he getting his necessities of life? And but the human being, he has to do some work. But the type of work he can do, he can work in sane activity, or he can work in insane activity. He can work according to the principles of scripture, which are Krishna's directions how to work. Or he can work without caring for the principles of scripture. Or, in so many ways, he can act totally whimsically, or he can act out of a sense of duty, or he can act out of a sense of the mode of passion that I must work and get more and more and more. Either way, he has to work. If he has to work in the mode of ignorance, he just to work just to drag himself out of bed. Or he can work very much in the mode of goodness, following the dharmic rules of life. But either way, everyone has to work. But the devotees, what is the work that the devotees are doing? They're working to please Krishna. Now people are working because they want to get their crust. Yeah, their crust of bread on the table. That's a fact. But the devotee, he's not working to get his crust of bread on the table. He's working to please Krishna. And Krishna is sending the necessities of life. Actually, this is a fact. This is a fact. Krishna has no problem. He's not a poor man. Krishna doesn't feel difficulty in providing for so many children. As we grow up and grow old and get families and children, we experience sometimes difficulties providing for the children. You know, so many things they want. But Krishna has no difficulty providing for every single living entity in every single species of life, in every single planet, and all the spaces in between, in all the oceans, on the land, in the sea, in the air, in the sky, on the surface of the earth. Krishna has got no problem providing for all the facilities for all, as he's declared himself in Bhagavad Gita, all his children. He says, I am the father. Krishna has no problem doing that. no problem providing whole universes for us to do everything. No problem. For Krishna, he just does it with his eyes closed. As Lord Mahavishnu, he's exhaling all the universes, doing that with his eyes closed. And then entering into each universe as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu and producing Lord Brahma and by his energies and giving Lord Brahma intelligence, Lord Brahma's manipulating the energies and engineering the planets and throwing off different species of life and progenitors of different species to populate all these planets so that people can fulfill all their different desires and all the different species of life. Krishna's doing all that with his eyes closed, and this is just one tiny little universe. And Krishna's doing it for all the universes, and each one is coming in and out, as we were discussing, in one breath. And we're thinking that, yes, I'm so significant here. But Krishna is maintaining everyone without difficulty. But why is he doing that? Because we want that. But outside of this dark, it's a pretty dark place, this dark, material, enclosed, prison-like universe, outside all these universes, outside the Mahatattva, is not the cloud. This is the cloud portion. But there's the rest of the bright, self-effulgent spiritual sky, where people don't have 9-to-5 jobs. They're just engaged in loving service to Krishna. And there's no difficulty maintaining all of them. Krishna has no difficulty. But here, you come here just like you go to the prison. Okay, here's your prison uniform. Now you go to work. This is the material world. So we have to work, but the principle is that we have these bodies. Now we have to learn to use the body, the mind, the senses, everything, the words, everything, for Krishna. We're using our body, mind, senses and words and wealth and everything in so many ways, but we have to learn to use these things for Krishna. And when we learn to develop the right attitude towards Krishna, because at the moment we have an attitude, I'm not surrendering to you, I'm not serving Krishna, why should I serve Krishna? I want to enjoy. Krishna, you're asking for this, but I want this. Yeah. We've got an attitude, but we have to develop the right attitude. And the right attitude is pure devotional service. That Krishna, just like we see from Prahlad Maharaj, his statement, I simply want, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is asking for. So these are very significant points. Because why? And he's saying here that the happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that one can have all the other perfections automatically. Those are insignificant byproducts. We're looking at page 13, by the way, I guess. Have you got? Yeah, okay. So anyway, here, any questions so far? Any comments so far? Yes, Rashmi.
You know,
Mira, sorry.
You said that Krishna is providing everyone with everything.
Mm.
But sometimes you see like people in third world countries, they're not providing for everything. Why is that? Is that just due to their past karma and things like that?
It's due to their past karma, and it's also due to the outrageous so-called administration. Because the leaders of society are meant to make nice arrangements. But instead, the leaders of society are exploiting the people so they cannot get the necessities of life. Just like you see, classic examples. You see so many hundreds and thousands of tons of food relief are even being shipped in to the countries. And what's happening? The so-called leaders are misappropriating it. And so it's not actually getting through to the people who it's meant for. So when there's maladministration, sorry, it was Rasika's phone. Anyway, it'll stop in a minute. When there's bad administration, Krishna's good administration is that all the necessities of life are provided for everyone. But due to our bad administration, those things are being withheld. Just like you see in Europe. Milk lakes, butter mountains, grain mountains. Why? Those are meant to be distributed to people. Why they're being forced to pay such high prices for all the food in the shops? The reason is very simple, that the people who are supplying them are exploiting everyone to get people to work harder and harder, to pay more and more money, get higher prices, so the people who are providing these things, so-called, become happier by getting more and more profit. That's what's going on. Or even you see that where there's a struggle for power in the third world countries, you're giving that example. Why? Because they're not interested in the welfare of the people. They're only interested in trying to grab the power and the control and the wealth for themselves. Otherwise, if they were actually interested, they'd make proper arrangements so that the foods, which are needed by the starving people because they have no compassion in their hearts and no brain, they're quite happy to let all the people of their country starve and pretend that there's no problem. Because for them there's no problem. They're getting all the food grains and they're selling it at extortionate prices on the black market, and everyone else is suffering. So this is because the leaders of society are ignorant and rascals and demons. This is the reason. Not that Krishna is not sending it, there's plenty of food grains. And if they administered it properly and enabled people to grow the food on the land that they have, then they would be all right. Or if they were performing pious activities, then there would be sufficient rain so the crops can grow. Because everyone's instead encouraged to kill the animals, eat the animals, and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, Krishna is saying, I provide the rains and hold forth on the rains. I give and I don't give, depending on what is the situation. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. And he particularly says, yagyad bhavati parjanyad yagya karma samudbhava. The all living entities, anna bhavati bhutani parjanyad anna samudbhava. What is that, the next verse?
Annada bhavati bhutani parajanyana sabho yagna bhavati parajanyo.
Yagya karma samudbhava. Yes. The simple principle. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. When the rains come, then the food grows. Not a problem. So if the rain is coming and the food grows, why don't you harvest it and make sure that there's enough for all the people to eat? What is the difficulty? Just like in our Mayapur temple, 10-mile radius of the Mayapur temple, nobody goes hungry. The devotees are getting the food and they're distributing it. What is the difficulty? Why people should go hungry? They're not just distributing the grains, they're distributing Krishna prasadam actually. But the thing is, all living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of sacrifice. So why there are droughts in India? Because people are not performing the sacrifice. They're becoming nonsense people, turning against the Vedic injunctions. They're embracing meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. They're embracing Western culture. We have to become advanced like the West, going mad after it. And therefore, where is the performance of sacrifice? So the sacrifice is what produces the rains, and the rains give forth the grains. And Krishna says, taking it further on into that verse, so all living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains come by performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born out of performing your prescribed duties. So the prescribed duty is to protect the cows, and for the human beings, the prescribed duty is to develop your God consciousness. This is actually the prescribed duty for the human being. If you don't do this, then I'm sorry, but you just don't qualify as a human being. Just like it's described that on the planet, there are 8,400,000 species of life. And Prabhupada explains that out of all the 400,000 human species, the few of those are there on this planet. But if people are not engaged even in understanding that there's some conception of God or some conception of religion, then they may be two-legged animals, but they don't actually qualify. They're discounted from the human beings. So the whole system is a problem because simpler people have simply become like cats and dogs, simply animals. There's no understanding of God. So these books are meant to give people intelligence, meant to bring people to the platform of human life, from where we can actually make progress and ultimately become devotees of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Is it all right? Any comment or challenge or... Rashmi?
It's not a question, but you know, you said Krishna does all these things.
Yes.
One breath in and out.
Yes.
It's difficult to imagine that.
Yes.
Just it's difficult to imagine how powerful he is.
Yes.
And you can look at that picture and imagine Krishna as the form we've seen there.
No, but he's not doing it in this form. Because Krishna in Vrindavan, he's simply enjoying. But Krishna's expansion, his first expansion, Lord Balaram, he then expands as Sankarshan out of the Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. That Sankarshan expands as Narayan. That Narayan expands as the second Chaturvyuha. And from that Sankarshan, Mahavishnu is a part of him. And he is doing that part. Krishna himself, he's enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan. But Mahavishnu and the other Vishnus, they're Krishna's expansions delegated simply for the function of what's going on in that little cloud in a corner of the spiritual sky, which is the material world wherein all the material universes are. This is the statement of the Shastra. So yes. But you see the picture of Mahavishnu? You've seen that picture of Mahavishnu? He's lying there. And in the causal ocean, and from he's in his sleep, actually he's breathing. He's doing it with his eyes closed in his sleep, but in his meditation, he's breathing in and out, and all the universes are coming in and out of his body, with each exhalation and inhalation, like that. So it's not difficult for Krishna, but in his meditation, just he's creating each universe with its own time frame, with all the facilities required for the complete creation. Everything is there. There's no shortage of anything. Within the universe, it's a complete arrangement. A complete, sustainable arrangement. Nowadays, people are very into this sustainability. But Mahavishnu, he's created the entire creation with full sustainability in each universe. And to make sure that it all goes nicely, he's expanded himself as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, as the super soul of the universe. And even he's expanded himself as the Kshiradakshay Vishnu on the Sveta Dvip planet within each universe to send different expansions, incarnations of himself in different places to resolve different problems as they occur, so that the maintenance is all taken care of. Like when the demons get too uppity, send a nice incarnation to wipe them out. Or the Kshatriyas get out of order, come as Parashurama, finish them off. Or Krishna comes himself, or Lord Ram comes. They appear in Kshatriya families. And or Vamanadev, the demons came, Bali Maharaj, he came. And he started getting uppity and kicked Indra out of his throne. So Bali Maharaj came and resolved the problem. So he's there, he's made the full maintenance, it's fully self-sustainable, by his own potency he's doing that, just with a... And Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, what need is there for this detailed knowledge, Arjuna? Because with but a single fragment of myself, I pervade and maintain these entire universes. But we have to see how everything is being maintained by Krishna. And practical devotional service involves learning how to depend on Krishna, actually. Actually, Krishna, I'm maintained by you, so please just let me become your servant. Let me be engaged in your devotional service. This is practical. We have to learn how to depend on Krishna. Because we find ourselves in so many situations. Arjuna found himself in the situation, what to do? Krishna, please tell me, what should I do? Please guide me, I don't know what to do. Please, you give me guidance. Or Prahlad Maharaj, a little boy, what can he do against his big, big demon father? What can he do? He's just a little boy. And his father's trying in so many ways to kill him. And he's just depending on Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Hiranyakashipu is powerless against this little five-year-old boy. Even though Hiranyakashipu is becoming so agitated that he's not under my control. You know, he's getting furious. And he's trying so many ways just to kill him because he's not under my control. You know, that's his mentality. But he's protected by Krishna. So he has practical experience. And he's giving us the benefit in these prayers of his practical experience. That there's no loss. And what happened with Prahlad Maharaj? Even though he's completely protected, even being put in boiling ghee, he's protected. Even being put in a pit of poisonous snakes, he's protected. Even being trying to be attacked and pierced with so many demons with their lances and swords, he's protected. And when Lord Nrsingadev comes, Prahlad is asked, you know, please ask for some benediction. He says, no, my dear Lord, I'm not a merchant. I don't want to be a merchant. I'm not approaching you because I want some material benefit. I just want to increase my loving service. And I want that I should never give up the service of my wonderful spiritual master, Narada Muni. This is his mood. How could I ever think of leaving the service of such a spiritual master? I don't want anything. But what does Lord Nrsingadev do? He gives him all facilities within the material world. He installs him as the king of the demons to administer, and you know, with all the royal opulences to go with being a great, 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 great king, and personally protected and given the benefit and the benediction that none of your descendants will be killed by me. I won't kill any of your descendants, even though they're demons, the family of demons. Still, I won't kill them because they're in your family. Because you are very dear to me because you're my devotee. So this is the nature of loving dealings between the Lord and his devotee. There's no shortage of anything. And by taking to devotional service to Krishna, one is not the loser. Rather, one is incredibly benefited. And if there is some material desire, then it's not a problem. So let's read this next part. Any other question or comment from what we've discussed so far? Mukesh Prabhu.
When you talk about life byproducts,
yes.
And when we talk about dharma, artham, karma, moksha,
yeah.
They seem to be, you know, inundated within this whole, this material world. And we're trying to you know, abstain and trying to go away from these things, but they seem to be, it's like Dhru Maharaj, he still went to meditation thinking that he wants a better palace or whatever.
Greater kingdom.
The material desire is so strong that even one like tries to approach Krishna, like you say that
it's an impetus.
Krishna is not that type of Lord where you know you approach him for these type of things.
Yeah. If that's your impetus to approach Krishna, then do it. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, the neophyte devotees, they approach Krishna for these, generally for these four reasons. Because they are in distress, they're in need of money, they're curious, or they're searching for absolute knowledge. These four impetuses make people want to approach Krishna. That's the general rule. But the devotees, just like Prahlad Maharaj, what's he approaching Krishna for? He's approaching him, please, I just want my devotional service to be stronger and stronger. So that means that devotional service is far stronger than the influence of all those things in the character of a devotee. So if that, if those things are so strong in the character of a devotee, and if we can understand that this is actually worth going for, therefore we should see, well, how can I become like them? Therefore we associate with devotees to try to become devotees, to try to develop those characteristics, those qualities. That's what this chapter is about, the characteristics of pure devotional service. So those things are there. The whole world, as you say, is inundated with desires. People have no knowledge of religiosity nowadays. And they say they have some bogus ideas about what is some so-called religion. Some rascal who, some upstart who jumps up and allows people to say that he's God or says that he's God or so many things. But the fact of the matter is that people are only interested nowadays in sense gratification. Because they've got no sense of dharma, what's to be done, what sense of duty, that sense of duty is becoming a thing of the past. If you ask the children at school, what is your duty in life? Try it, see what they say, it'd be interesting to see what reaction you get. What is your duty in life? No clue. What do you mean duty? Is it true? See, I'd be interested to know what they say.
Teacher, ask them to see what you want so you can.
They don't know what to about anything.
Yeah.
We need some feedback next week, probably.
They just want to know when they're getting their cookies.
Yeah. Just only interested in sense gratification because the educational system is teaching them that eat, drink and be merry for tomorrow you die. And that's the end of it. That's the way it's going, is it not?
Yeah.
Forget about God. He doesn't exist. Forget about duty. Just more, better, faster. Yeah? Check out the broadband adverts. Anyway. So, the principle is there that people have got no sense of what to even inquire for. But Krishna consciousness is to give people real sense. Give people some intelligence. That's what it's for. And that's what these books are for, to give people. Actually, we're asking people to take these books, to buy these books, to give a donation for these books. They've no idea what they're getting. They've no idea what immense changes are going to happen to them if they buy these books. If they actually give some contribution towards Krishna and take these books and open them and learn something about Krishna, even if they can understand it or can't understand it, it's too late. Things have already started to change. Just by hearing from the Lord's devotee, actually they're starting the process of change. Even they read one word, just they see, oh, devotion, oh. They've read something from Prabhupada's books. That's a great start. And sometimes you see the Sankirtan devotees, they'll get people to hold the books in their hand and sort of look at them while they're talking to them and trying to encourage them to, you know, take it home and read it. Just to try to see how much they can benefit them. But even better, when they convince people by understanding what these books are about, speaking to them in such a way that the people become inclined, yeah, it looks good, I'll take one home. This is practice. This is expertise. It's very valuable. To be, and you see Sutapara and these other devotees. I was watching Sutapara on the street last Saturday. You know, he's very tall. And it's like watching a ballet dancer in motion, in slow motion. He's, you know, just sort of taking this book and he's coming like this up to someone. He's just, oh, hello. And putting the book in their hand. And then, he's in there. It's phenomenal. It's really an amazing sight, but it's just a science in itself. Anyway, the principle is that people get the most immense benefit by hearing about Krishna and by reading about Krishna, by understanding about Krishna. And we can assist the Acharyas. We can assist Srila Prabhupada because Prabhupada wanted so hard, so much, to give us this Krishna consciousness that he gave up his sleep to write these books. He would do the writing at night. While we were all sleeping, Prabhupada was writing these books. Tirelessly. And even on Prabhupada's deathbed, literally in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was lying on his deathbed. But still he had the devotees working with him and the devotees holding the dictaphone next to his mouth so he could write. Because he was writing by using a dictaphone and the devotees would transcribe and turn them into the books. Even on his deathbed, he was showing us how to die, actually, serving Krishna. Absorbed in just trying to serve Krishna. He so much wanted, he gave everything to try to give us this Krishna consciousness. So if we can take advantage of this ourselves and try to give it to others, that will be a great credit. And that will be something that will please, factually, please Srila Prabhupada very much so that we get his full blessings. And the blessings of all the Acharyas. And the blessings of Krishna. It's all coming down through the disciplic succession. That's called Guru Parampara. So we don't have to be afraid. We just have to know that if I'm talking to someone, who's standing behind me? Prabhupada. Who's standing behind Prabhupada? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. They're all giving us strength, intelligence to try to talk to people about Krishna. Try to give Krishna. So we haven't got to be afraid. Just we try and we have them standing behind us, pushing us. Yes, come on, this is good, you do it like this. You tell it, say like this. You get intelligence, how to do. That's the fact of the matter. Because Krishna is in the heart as the super soul and he's outside as the spiritual master, as his representative. So we're not very good at listening to Krishna in the heart. We can't see him, and we often don't figure out how to listen to him. But if we learn how to listen to his external representative, to hear his katha, his words, then actually, gradually, we become connected with the Lord in the heart also. This is the path. We get to see Krishna, we get to meet Krishna, to be with Krishna, to play with Krishna, to dance with Krishna, everything. So that's not so bad. Is it? But to do that, all we have to do is change our attitude to one of pure devotional service. So not mixed devotional service. Pure means not mixed with anything else. So this is what we're being invited to see. What is pure devotional service? What is pure devotional service about? Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Itai Gaura Premanandi. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamaya Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prachari Anuvisesha Sanyavadi Asti Chari Shatari Hari Hari Bo. Okay, so are there any other questions or comments? Maybe we can just read this second paragraph which we read before. Mira, would you just read this, actually a pure devotee paragraph for us, just as a conclusion, and we'll just see, please.
Actually, a pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections, because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can compare to it. It is said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification and liberation.
This is the test. No, actually this is the real test. anyone who's developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service, can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness. No interest in it. So this is how we can see if we're making some progress. Practically, we can take our own certificate. You don't need to get a certificate from someone else. Yeah. It's not like an examination where you go to the matriculation board and at the end you're trying to get your certificate. Yeah, I passed the exam. No, you can take your own certificate. If these things are actually becoming insignificant for you, you can understand, okay, I'm making some progress. Is it all right? Okay. All right. Any last calls or questions or comments? All right. Then let's stop for now. But I just mentioned that the month of December is a very important month. Why is the month of December a very important month?
Selling books, selling management takes place?
Yeah, the devotees all over the world go into marathon mode, actually, distributing Prabhupada's books like anything over the Christmas marathon, you know, the December marathon. It's a fantastic time, and devotees all over the world get into this mode of being in a marathon endeavor to distribute hundreds and thousands and millions of Prabhupada's books during the marathon. It's a fantastic activity. It's an incredibly blissful activity. Sometimes it seems a little bit of an austerity, but the devotees, they get into it. And you can ask the Sankirtan devotees, why do they perform such austerities, go out all day on the streets or wherever they are, you know, braving the freezing cold and the rejections and so many things? Why do they do it? Why do they do it? You ask them, why do they do it? And the answers are very simple and very surprising, because they tell you that actually it's the most blissful activity. It's actually the most blissful thing. By trying to serve Srila Prabhupada, by trying to give people Krishna consciousness, is the most amazing thing. It is the most blissful thing. They're not interested in going out, checking out all the shops. What can I buy? They're trying to get people before they go in the shops and spend all their money and get them to take a book home. Somehow or other, get them to take something about Krishna and change their lives. So it is a very, very powerful thing. And if during the December month we can try to see, what can I do to help get these books out to people? Sometimes some devotees, they say, all right, well, I'll drive the devotees here and there, or I'll go and get another load of books, you know, from the BBT warehouse or other. And you find that devotees do this. And sometimes people are driving big vans and taking pallet loads of books. Okay, this is this week's supply, you know. Yeah. And he's got, you know, like a pallet full of Sri Upanishads, you know, just, okay, we're going to go and do these this week. Yeah. And or Topmost Yogas, or Science of Self-Realization, or Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1s, or Krishna books. In the old days, what we used to do on the streets was we used to take these nectar of devotions, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the big silver Krishna books, and the Bhagavad Gitas. And we didn't really have much in the way of smaller books, but we just take those big books, and we're out there in dhotis and kurtas and tilak and saris or whatever, and just stopping people and getting people, you know, we'd have a big, you know, we didn't have trolleys in those days. Nowadays, here they've got it really cushy. They have these trolleys, and they take the books in the trolleys. But we just had a big bag of books on our shoulders, just going out. We spent all day out in the freezing cold, just distributing these books. It was so blissful. Day after day, we'd live in a Sankirtan van for a month on end, you know, in a transit van. We'd sleep in the van, we'd cook in the van, we'd take a nice breakfast, and be out all day in the street, we'd come back. We'd you know, check out how many books we've done, count the Lakshmi and bank it the next day, and you know, have aarti in the van, the little Jagannath deities, sing kirtan, and finally, you know, the idea was in this transit van, you'd have a piece of 8 foot by 4 foot plywood, which was dropped down from the ceiling by the ceiling struts on ropes, and two devotees would sleep on there in their sleeping bags, and two devotees would sleep on all the books down below, and every night the shape, the bed would be a different shape because depending on how many the books had been sold, and you know, another devotee would be stretched out along the front seat, and this way, and it was amazing, really. Blissful activity. This was our misspent childhood. Anyway, but we had these these nice activities. And the fact is that any devotee who's trained to do sankirtan, they'll tell you that it's the most blissful activity in the world. So anyway, we'd recommend this activity. If you try to find some opportunity to distribute books, whether it's while the Harinam Sankirtan is going on, or just stopping people on the street, or going to your friends, or your colleagues, or your family, and just asking them, please take these books, please sponsor these books, let's put some in the libraries, or colleges, or universities, or prisons, or wherever. You know, give a contribution, let's sponsor these books and get them out there, so everyone can benefit. These are really nice ways. Whatever you can do, be imaginative. It's very good. You see Mineshi Gopika, she's always distributing these books. She's already got distributed, I think, about 150 books, Bhagavad Gita's, in the last couple of weeks. She's really, don't tell her I said her name. She wanted to remain anonymous. But, you know, she's got so much enthusiasm, and you can learn from her. She's going door to door sometimes, knocking on all kinds of people's houses, Muslim houses, Christian houses, Hindu houses, anyone, and just getting them to take a Bhagavad Gita by her enthusiasm and her eagerness, actually. Okay. And they're taking, actually. How about that? They're taking. They're saying, oh yeah, I'd like to read this. It's very powerful. Anyway, my humble request is please think on this, and see if there's some way in which we can develop the book distribution over the Christmas marathon. That would be really good. Your students, whatever, whoever they are, your customers, your relatives, anyone. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nectar of devotion ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Bhani Pachar Nivisesha Sunyabhadi Asti Chari Shikari.
It's an adventure.